whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. You had a nice trip?
Well, sometimes with electricity, sometimes without.
So did I.
Well.
Yeah, we had the same situation. Never mind.
Oh, man. Are you excited about tonight?
I'm very excited about tonight. I'm really hoping a lot of people will come and watch. But it's interesting to see how this will work. It's not like an album release or anything, you know?
No, totally different. I remember when we talked about it and you said you're going to the Ukraine and you invited me to join you.
Yes, I said, why don't you come?
Yeah, and I said, are you out of your freaking mind? But in a nice way, you know, obviously.
Yes, I remember.
How did the idea just came into existence that you said, it's okay to do something, but I need to do something there? Because this is something that most people don't think about.
Yes. Well, you know, if you write a lot of songs inspired by the Ukraine, and then it's always from a distance, it's like you imagine a certain situation and how it would feel to be one of them happening that to you. How would you feel? And that's from that perspective we wrote the songs, of course. And what would we do? What do we think we would do? You know, it's more like a philosophical way of thinking and creating songs and writing lyrics. But then you have also the option to go there because we were asked to come to Kyiv it goes back a long time because it doesn't, you don't get there one overnight, you know. It's like, it's a process. First of all, we were asked in just after the war started in the Ukraine by Russia to perform at the Atlas Festival. And then it got cancelled and they asked, like, would you like to enter a marathon of music to create awareness, maybe play a song in Kyiv or maybe do it online? So first step was to do that online. It's like, okay, you know, for one song to go to Kyiv is a lot. And not knowing also exactly how the situation, how bad it was in Kyiv at that moment. So we participated in that marathon, which was worldwide with all kinds of artists trying to raise awareness. And we were asked for that. And we kept, and there were the same people actually that were also in contact with the Atlas Festival. So it was like, one of the people who was working there was also working for Music Saves Ukraine. And then we got invited to come and see Ukraine, you know, like for a trip. And Robert did this eventually, to go on a trip through Ukraine and see and speak to people and see what the war is doing. And also to the people and how they cope with it. And to eventually, of course, to raise money to help people. That was the idea, to show people what it's like to be in the Ukraine, to have this happening to a country that wants to be a sovereign country, that is a sovereign country, but wants to be a democratic country. That's what I wanted to say, actually. Is blown to pieces, you know, brought back to start again from zero because everything was, you know, especially in the East, it's a lot of things are bombed. And so Robert went there and did a round tour with a lot of people who are festival organizators. How do you say that in English? From the organization.
Organizers.
Festival organization. Yeah, organizers. Failing in my English now. But anyway, so it was continuously like getting to know more people and more people asking you to do something and also feeling, I don't know, you know, when you speak to people, you get a bond, you see faces to stories, and it's so different from just writing about it. And so, you know, that's how it happened. And I also went there, of course, for the video with for Alex Yarmak to do a video in Kyiv. And Well, then again, you meet people and you feel their pain and you see what's happening and you feel angry and frustrated and you want to do more. And then eventually got asked to play at Atlas Festival, but we had told the band, you know, we're not going to play there, play anywhere because we were free. So everybody was already, had already, you know, different plans, you know. Yeah. They also have a band on site of William Station and made plans for that. And so eventually I went on my own with only one person, which is my monitor guy for already 20 years and a good friend of mine, and Benny. I went with him to the video, for the video with Alex Jarmek and another guy, Matthijs, who is working in our studio, who we've been working for a couple of years now with. He went with to meet me to the festival. So the documentary started because of the fact that somebody wanted to make a documentary about the band because we're almost like 30 years, something almost together as band.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. Anyway, and then the idea was like, okay, do we want to have a documentary? And we just seen a really... a few documentaries about bands and we're all like, they're all the same. Like one, you know, there's always somebody sitting on the couch telling how great the band is and how many beautiful things they have achieved in the music industry and how well they've done and how important they were. And it felt quite boring, to be honest, to be another band to do that, you know, especially in this time because there's so much more going on and music can be so much more, I think, in a way. And so we wanted to make a documentary about the impact of music, not about us. We are the ones who, you know, we're the dots in the story and we connect the dots. But in the meantime, we tell a story about people who feel music, who music is so much more important than just something on the radio or something. You know, it's in a way something to hold on to get hope from, and it connects people. It resonates in a different way than just, yeah, in some cases the cases. And I think especially in wartime, you need so much more to hold on to. Sometimes there is nothing to hold on to, and music can be something like that. So and I'm not talking about our music, but all music, of course. And that's the story that we wanted to tell, their stories. And we are just a red line and to get everybody in. So hopefully and maybe make people understand what's, you know, what's happening over there, because it gets to the background a lot of times, not just the Ukraine, but a lot of places in the world. It's front news, you know, front page news for a couple of days, and then it just goes to the back again, which is logical and normal because everybody goes on with their own lives. And that's what the people in the Ukraine also told me. It's like, you know, we understand that people forget about it because, you know, life goes on, and we understand that. And the fact that they understood that and even thought about why that is happening was like... yeah, also very special, because I felt like they even understand why it's happening, but it doesn't take the essence away to keep on bringing that news. And the only way to do it is to keep in the attention by everyone who can do something.
What do you want to achieve with the Invisible Force in the best way?
In the best way, empathy, more empathy for people who think they're tired of listening about war. You know, it's because they can't take a break, and I know it's logical to go on with life, but maybe, you know, do something, maybe do a donation, or maybe maybe do more investigation if you're cynical about war in Ukraine, about misinformation. Maybe just educate and yourself by getting interested in the subject and see what you can do, or what your, you know, maybe get a different opinion, challenge yourself, and those kind of things, I hope. But maybe that's a lot to ask. And also, it's just another way of looking at what music can do for people, and also different perspective, not from a journalist perspective, but just from people who make music that connect with other people who make music and people who are listening to music in wartime. Mm.
Just between you and me, how often were you really afraid?
You and me, yeah?
just you and me, housewives.
Housewives.
How often were you really afraid? How often did you, were you scared? Were there situations?
I thought I was not scared at all. The first time when I went there for the video, I was really not scared. Of course, a little bit nervous, but not scared, like really scared. But the second time I went over there and they bombed, like the crazy thing is, 2 or 3 days before I was going away for the festival, Atlas Festival, the children's hospital got bombed. It was a children's hospital for kids with cancer. And not to make it more dramatic, but that was kind of like, you know, mind-blowing that they targeted that hospital. But only not that hospital, but there were more places that were bombed at the same time. But there were so many casualties and it was really horrific. And the thing is that everybody on the festival said, yeah, but now we can't do the festival. Because nobody 2 days or 3 days later is in need of music, you know. Everybody's mourning, you know. Everybody's trying to get in contact with people they know and see what they can do. And so they postponed it for a week. And never in my whole career I have seen a festival being replaced a week, because it's impossible, because people have their agenda, you know, they have more festivals they have to play at or something. And it's impossible to get everybody together. But somehow everybody managed to be there. And that was also something like so empowering feeling that everybody said, yes, of course, we're going to play there a week later. And because a week later, they might have the need for music or to catch a breath from everything that's happening. And so, but that was the first time I was actually scared, because I felt like this is a place where in the middle of Kyiv, where everybody gets together, it could be a target. And I never thought they would get, you know, because they have a very good air defense. But from that moment on, they changed their tactics, how they bombed Ukraine. I believe it was because they went over, partially over Poland, then they made a turn, the ballistics, you know, how they targeted certain places in Ukraine, where before that they did it in a different way and was almost impossible to, well, they, you know, Kyiv was quite good in defending themselves by attacks. And this time they really got a really, they really hit Kyiv really hard. So I was really like, okay, so now it's becoming really realistic that something could happen when we're there. And then I was a bit scared, to be honest. And because the threat was bigger than I had imagined. So because I've lived in many countries in the past as a child where there was war. I lived in Yemen when there was a war. I was in Sri Lanka when my parents were there. They were, you know, the government was fighting the Tamil Tigers.
Well, you live in Holland, for God's sakes. War zone enough.
Yeah, war zone enough. With bicycles, probably, but no. No, but meaning like I know how to calculate certain risk, and I've always felt like a lot of things you see in the news is a nutshell of everything happening in a certain country. And when you're there, life goes on also in a normal way.
Yeah.
Crazy enough. And that was also what I felt the first time I went there. Like, there's still weddings there. There's still people going, having dinners. It's not like everything stopped. But that was also, of course, in Kyiv, where there is not the, you know, it gets targeted, but not as much as the eastern part of the Ukraine, where it is constantly happening. And so I felt like, you know, Kyiv is relatively safe. But then when this children's hospital bombing happened, I was like, okay, but that was a different game. And then, like I said, it was the first time I was like, okay, this is something I have to be aware of and be, you know, when there is an air alert, I should go down to the shelter instead of stay in bed, like, you know, how big is the chance?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you not only brought back a documentary, but you brought back a new song, a new single, actually, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to...
Sing Like a Siren.
Yes, Sing Like a Siren. Yeah, we are going to release a single very soon with Jerry Hill. And she was... participating in the Euro Song Festival last year. And she had this beautiful song. And I met her while I was there for the Atlas Festival. And the thing is that I loved her voice so much. I was like, wow, what a voice. And that song was so amazing. I really loved it. It was really felt, it resonated with me somehow. And so I said, do support for Ukraine. I posted that on my socials. And she saw that, and she actually grew up with our music. And she said, like, oh, I heard you're coming to Kyiv for the Atlas Festival. Can we meet, maybe write a song? So, well, I'm only going to be there for a few days, like a short week. And so I don't think we have time for also writing a song because it might need some more time. And then we just started sending ideas over and over to each other on the internet, like some I've done before with other bands. And we created a song that we felt like really fits the documentary, actually. So that's going to be released very soon. Yeah. And I'm really proud of it because it's for both things, you know, because I think both are an extra layer to just normal writing music, you know, which is more about personal stuff. But this is, I don't know, it's probably one of the most beautiful things, you know, I felt that we've done as a band, because it's not about us and it's more about someone else and their story. And I don't know. It just gives me a better feeling to do being participating in that than actually doing the normal stuff that we've done so far.
You've been doing so much in this case, and for that matter, you know, on tour and now with the documentary and with the song and everything you helped. You took Ukrainian bands on tour with you, and you did, you know, just really, really a lot for all this. Is the documentary a sort of an end to this? I mean, you can never really get away from it, I guess, like mentally. But how do you gonna go on from this point on now?
Well, that's a question I've asked myself as well. I'm not sure, actually.
I'm happy.
Sorry?
I'm happy you ask yourself this question too.
No, the thing is, I think we'll always be following what's happening there, because we know a lot of people now, especially more than ever. And we still text, you know, blind dates, like, how are you doing? And also Alex and some other people that we know in the Ukraine, like, how are you doing? And how is it for you? But more like, you know, you stay in contact because, you know that the war still goes on there, although you've done certain things to try to put the light on it, to keep it alive for, you know, that people can follow their story through you in a way. And we'll still be supporting them, but I don't know how it will change. Maybe, you know, if it will change or will we continue that? I don't have the answer yet to that because it doesn't feel okay to stop where the war doesn't end. So I'm not sure if it's going to be on a personal level that we're going to do our own thing or also connected to the band. I hope that one day we'll be able to play there again. And then, for the people who like our music, of course, and then that would be beautiful. But I can't wait for the war to end, but I don't see it happening just yet, although there are small things to be hopeful about. But
I hate to admit to Dutch people that they have more balls than I do, but in this case you guys do.
Okay.
That was a compliment.
It was a compliment. Oh, thank you. I'll take it. Thank you. You know, but it's someone said to me, and it's like, it feels good to do something that's not about yourself, and because it gives, I don't know, you know, you can do nothing and still empathize with some, you know, with something happening, but it's it feels good to do something on top of that, you know. And and I would really hope that other people can see that even though you do something totally different, that we can all contribute, you know. It doesn't matter, all small things matter. I do believe that. I really believe that. That's really a mantra going in my head, like, okay, it doesn't have to be big, but you can do small things as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think you have to go now. Do something.
Do I? Almost.
Well, I'll talk to you soon again.
I hope so. And maybe in a few weeks when the single comes out, then...
We'll see what we're going to do. I know it. I've heard it. And it's not with metalcore elements, I might say.
No, it's not with metalcore elements. No, it's really like singing like a siren in the full, how do you say it? Organic way.
Yeah.
It's very organic song, to be honest. Yeah.
I like it.
Something different again. I think the people who got into Wood Imitation from the start will really love this.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize that I'm really impressed with Jerry Hill, because she is one of the most talented persons I've ever met. She is crazy talented. In many ways. And she really feels the music. No, really. I really believe that. And she's for me like, an artist that has many talents. She makes, I think her the music she makes that most people know her of is more pop. But she she is so versatile. I think she's only started to develop her own style yet. So it's, we're going to hear more from her in a, I can't wait. So
nice. Yeah, thank you very much for taking the time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.